What's your name and how do you spell it?
Mary McDonald, MaryMcDonald.
Where did you grow up?
Destiny, I've lived in St. Joseph, Missouri all of my life.
Growing up, what was your childhood like?
I like to say that we had a childhood that was full of time to play and also time to work, because we had chores and responsibilities like I believe kids are supposed to have. But it was a much more carefree time. We didn't have video games or 5 or 6 televisions in one household. So, nor did we have 500 TV channels available either. So there were the fantastic 5 channels. And so there wasn't a lot of options there. So outside provided much more adventure for the most part than inside did. So I would say it was a great childhood, but very different from the childhood of today.
Where'd you go to school and what was that like for you?
Okay. So I went to elementary school at Mark Twain Elementary School here in St. Joseph, Missouri. This was way before every child rode a school bus to school. So you've heard jokes about parents saying how far they had to walk to school every day. For us, we walked at least 15 blocks. It took 20 minutes, 15 to 20 minutes to get to school on a good day. We lived at the edge of the district for the school we went to. So we walked further than some kids would have walked. We were also one of 3 African-American families at the school at the time. I started their first grade in 1966. And so there were not a lot of African-Americans there, nor other people of color there. So that was a little bit different. For some of us, I think our teachers had African-American students for the first time.
What was high school and like middle school like, and how did you handle that? Like, how much different was it from elementary school?
Okay. Middle school was, it was an awesome, awesome transition. It felt like freedom. I mean, that would be the way I would describe it. So if I was, you know, in first grade in the middle 60s, so we're talking early, or mid 70s to where we started middle school. And it was...
I can't play from Amazon Music on that device.
We didn't have Alexa. I'll say that right now. We did not. But middle school was... it was so different because you could change. You weren't stuck in the same classroom all day. You got to hang out in the hallways at lockers in between. And I would also say that it was just, you know, I that was where I learned that kids could cuss. You know, I grew up in a household where if you cussed, you were in big trouble. So my whole life, I didn't know kids who could cuss. It didn't happen. And so when I got to middle school and heard kids cuss, and I was like, oh my goodness, kids can cuss. I didn't know that. Middle school was cool. It was a little scary at first. You worried about your locker or being able to open that, worried about gym class because you had to wear these ugly gym suits and had to have them. But, you know, that was a part of it, but it was good. So that's middle school. High school was a different kind of transition because we went outside of our district to our high school. We went to the high school that our dad and several of our other family members on that side had gone to. And so it meant leaving the feeder schools that we had gone to and the kids that we had known all of our school life and making new friends. Fortunately, I had a few folks that had been in band with me in middle school that went to our high school. which helped. I had cousins, family members there at the new high school that helped, and they kind of looked after us. But it was the coolest ever. It was like the next level up from middle school, the next level of freedom up from middle school. And also, it was in high school where I kind of figured out that I was pretty good at academics and good at, excelled with my band instrument. So I've kind of found my niche. My niche is there. I was also a pom-pom girl. So I had friends there. I was on student council and eventually was a student body officer, was a class officer. So kind of got to understand some politics, political aspects of life. And so just had leadership opportunities. And so I'm very grateful for my high school years.
What kind of things did you and your siblings like enjoy to do in your guys' free time?
So we did play. I mentioned playing outside. I have a sister that's like 18 months younger than me. And so we were very, very close. We shared a room. I don't remember a day without her. We would play game. If we couldn't go outside, we had board games. We played stuff, inside. We would build forts or playhouse inside with blankets. We were scared to death if we had storms at night, and we'd be scared and cry and try to comfort each other. She was the messy, and I was the one who liked stuff neat and clean. So we fought like siblings fight. But we played outside, rode bikes, played tag with the neighborhood kids, had an easy bake oven and made stuff in that. So that we did, but she was also a little more athletic than me. So there was something, she could play outside kind of rough with the boys, and I was a little less skilled at that, but we had, she's just like my road dog, but then we had a baby sister. When I was 12, I was in the sixth grade. My youngest sister was born. And so, I really spent a lot of time, hovering over her. I felt like she was mine. As a matter of fact, mom hired a babysitter for us this summer. She was born in the fall, but the summer that followed, mom hired a babysitter, and I wouldn't let the babysitter do anything because I felt like the babysitter couldn't do it as good as I could for her. So that was kind of our family and our household and our fun. It was a good time.
Did you and your family have any special traditions, such as things that they did on holidays or birthdays?
Okay. So in the house where I grew up, birthdays were a big deal. You got your cake. You usually had your own, you had a cake. If they didn't, if mom didn't make it, it was bought somewhere, which was kind of a big deal back in those days. We usually would just have very intimate family. So it would be our household and perhaps my mom's, parents would come. But it was much smaller than we do birthdays as a family now. So birthdays were kind of, it was a special day, but it was not like Christmas or Easter. So, Christmas was a big, 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 big deal. Putting up the tree was a big deal. There would be gifts for days under the tree. And then we didn't really have a special meal on Christmas. Usually mom always made a ham on Christmas, but we'd eat slices of the ham. They'd fry those for morning breakfast, which was awesome. But we didn't have a big, big, big Christmas dinner later on. Now, Thanksgiving was a very big deal. We'd go both places, to my dad's family, and also, to my mom's. Mom's side was smaller, so that would be a little smaller dinner, but at my dad's, I have like 48 first cousins. And so, at my dad's, my grandparents on my dad's side, it would be a big deal. their kids would be eating on the stairs with their plates. I mean, there were so many of us. And so dad was one of eight children. They all, and dad, there were only three of us, but everybody else had at least five. So it was huge. So Thanksgiving was a big deal there. And so that was a big deal. Easter morning at our house was a big deal. The Easter bunny would come and bring candy, and we would have dyed eggs. But the bigger deal was going to church with your new Easter outfit. So little girls wore gloves and an Easter hat, and you usually got a little purse that matched your fancy dress, and you wore shoes that hurt your feet by the time church was over. But that was the beauty of Easter. So we had good holiday memories.
When you graduated high school, like, where did you go and how did that make you feel?
So I went to college here locally in St. Joseph, to Missouri Western State University. We did not have the finances to be able to go away somewhere and try to support me living on campus. My parents at the time were divorced. They got divorced when I was 12. But again, in all this good timing that I've described, we never really wanted for anything. My parents took good care of us, but there wasn't a college fund that wasn't done as much back in the day as it is now. I had scholarships because of my good academic scores. I had qualified for some grants that were offered by the government at the time. College was another level, another level of freedom. I will say that I was in shock. I felt like I graduated from high school and you're like a senior. So you're like top level, you're the big dog, so to speak, and I was involved in all these activities in high school. I enjoyed some reasonable level of popularity. And then you go to college and then you're like, you go from being this big fish in a little pond to being this little fish in this giant pond. And so that was an adjustment. The academics were harder. I felt like the expectations, it's like, hold on, wait a minute. There should have been some kind of class. There should be, like pre-college or something in between high school and college. But you adjusted, and also I was working at the time. I'd worked the summer before and was doing school and work, working at JCPenney's. But one of the big things for me about college, coming from a small town, our population is 72,000, so we're not a huge place, but not a teeny tiny one, but it was my first time being in a place where there was a minority culture, an African-American culture. For the most part in St. Joe, we as African-Americans had to assimilate into the white culture, talk white, dress white, act white, if that makes sense. Yeah. But college gave an opportunity to meet folks whose experience was perhaps more urban, so more understanding into that. But then also opportunity to mix with African Americans who had come from the rural South and sharing their experience of being in little towns. Got an opportunity to meet folks that were of Asian descent, getting to know them and their culture, Latino culture. So it was an African, and I'll say this, also Africans, went to school with one, two, three that I can think of that were from Africa, and they were, so we got to learn a little bit about that. So it was multicultural. it was a broader a broadening of your thought processes. You know, it was just a whole different, it was a whole different transition, but it was a good one. One of the things that college teaches you is that different from high school. In high school, I had people, you know, if you weren't doing right things, you had people that were pushing you. You had people, you had teachers, you had folks that were pushing you. But in college, it is like, you got to want it bad enough to get it for yourself. And if you don't, then, you know, they've cashed the check and they've got the money and you know, they got too many students to be running around making sure that everybody does their assignments. So it was truly a growing up process, and learning about making good and bad choices was a part of college too.
Which significant historical events have taken place during your lifetime?
Oh my goodness. So I was born in 1960. When I think about, I have some shadowy memory of even John F. Kennedy being assassinated. I would have been like 3, but my memory is of the sorrow and the sadness in our household. I remember the civil rights movement and seeing pictures of African Americans being attacked with police dogs and water hoses turned on them coming into our living room on the news in the evening. I remember the Vietnam War and the body counts and injury counts and seeing pictures of American troops. I remember the Apollo missions, the landing on the moon and seeing that. I remember when there would be a ceasefire in the Vietnam War and we'd be happy thinking it was over and then something would happen and start again. But I finally remember when it was over and the bells were ringing throughout the city. I remember the beginning of the women's liberation movement and seeing women on the news burning their bras because they were liberated, you know. But I also, you know, there were some things that those things kind of shape you a little bit. And as you move into this new world, you know, I watched music change, watched fashions change, the whole gamut. But, I grew up in a time where women didn't have high paying jobs and couldn't aspire to being executives in organizations, companies. But then I watched all of that begin to shift as I grew, as time moved on and opportunities opened up.
Were there wars, natural disasters, or like any political changes that were like shocking to you, anything like that?
Yeah. So I mentioned the Vietnam War. Yeah. Growing up, and that would be the thing that would have shaped some of my thought processes. Also had the sad experience of watching the troops that came home from Vietnam not be welcomed, being criticized and condemned for what they had done. But again, we have to understand that it was this, like the 60s, early 70s, it was really a time of rebelling against everything that was established. And in some cases, because it needed to be, but also in some cases, I think just because. So the protest, I grew up with protests on the nightly news, American flag being burned. The Vietnam War was not a popular war. Many questioned why we were there. Loss of life was huge, but it was also the first war where the scenes of the combat and conflict were beamed into people's homes while they were eating, you know, meatloaf and mashed potatoes at dinner time. So it interrupted the dinner table. And so you saw that. So it was, there was great backlash. And the unfortunate, piece was that, you know, the, I think that the soldiers were not treated fairly for their service.
What did your parents do for a living when you were growing up?
So, my mom, was a secretary and a typist. So she worked at the state hospital here, the state mental hospital in St. Joe. So she had an office job and had skills. So I had a really good job there. My dad worked at, the packing plant here, Armors. We had several packing industry. It was a hub for packing, meat packing. He worked there along with several of his family members. So he worked hard there, but he also waited tables at some of the social clubs that African Americans couldn't be members at, but they could be servers, workers. So he did that. So I like to say that both of my parents worked really hard to make sure that there was always food on the table, that the lights were always on, and that we had clothes to wear and the things that we needed.
I know you mentioned that you worked at JCPenney's. Was that your first job? And how old were you when you did have your first job?
Okay. My first job where I got a paycheck was before that. I was probably I was probably a freshman in high school. We had a local civil rights activist here. Her name was Kelsey Bashir. She's, of course, passed on. But I worked for her and did filing for her for a little bit and actually got first paycheck with my name on it. So that was my first job. It didn't last very long. It was kind of temporary. She didn't need a clerk all the time. But I remember going through filing the papers and reading a lot of the things that she had done, written, or had been awarded. So I realized what a great, great lady she was. My first real, real regular job, though, I got it. It was at JCPenney's. And I had a class that was getting you ready for business, basically. And I was really kind of thinking I would be a secretary or typist like my mom. So I was in a class where you learned how to do all this stuff. But part of it was teaching you how to interview for a job. And so they would bring people in from the community to give us students an opportunity to have practice interviews. And so after I got done with my practice interview, the lady, her name is Lorraine Kearns, she said, well, you know that I'm the personnel manager at JCPenney's. And she says, if you want a job, I'll give you one. And so I got hired at Penney's through the practice interview there. And I worked there for 4 years. I worked there until I had my son, actually.
What different kinds of jobs have you had during your lifetime?
So my JCPenney's job was customer service. I was a clerk. So, you know, had to help people, had to ring people up. And so I did that job while I was finishing college. When I graduated from college, my first job out of college, I had to pay an employment agency almost half of my paycheck for 6 weeks for finding me the job, so to speak. But I worked at the Stetson Hat Company. It made Western hats and dress hats. They also had a division that made ball caps. So I worked in customer service there. It was taking orders from stores, from retail stores. So we were a supplier for a hat shops and for baseball teams or Western hat stores. So we took orders, and then if they would call in and need help, and they did a lot, finding their order, why was it late, we did that. So my customer service skills that I learned at Penney's helped me on the phone at the Stetson Hat Company. But then when I worked at Stetson Hats, we started doing some telemarketing. So we would call the stores that hadn't ordered in a while and ask them if they needed to order. We did some outbound stuff there on the phone. So I got that experience. So someone that worked at Stetson said, there's a company in St. Joe that's getting ready to start a telemarketing division and they need somebody to lead it. And since you've been doing telemarketing, I think you probably ought to apply. So this lady that told me this, her husband actually worked at Stets, at what became Beringer Ingelheim, what was Beringer Ingelheim. And so I said, well, great, I will do that. Can you find out who the personnel manager is or how you apply? And she told me, well, it turns out that my husband and my dad had played softball with the personnel manager's husband for a while. And I knew her. She was at ball games that I'd been at with my husband. And so I asked her about the job. I hear you've got this going on. We're sitting at a ball field somewhere in the country on a hot summer day, you know, a hot day. And I start talking about it. And she says, yeah, we're getting ready to do that. We're not quite ready yet, but when we start that up, she says, I'll let you know. And so I got a call that they were moving forward with that. Did I want to come in and interview? And so I did. And so I started out as leading an outbound telemarketing group and customer service for a very large, the animal health division of a very large human pharmaceutical company. And then had several jobs there, worked in customer service, telemarketing, moved over to helping with sales promotions and sales data for our sales reps, partnering with sales reps to have successful product sales campaigns, and then ultimately moved into an area of working with CRM, launched a CRM customer relationship management tool, had opportunities to go to Europe, to Mexico, to Canada, been to Vienna, been to Germany, been to Spain, to Barcelona. So moved into that role. And then after that was launched and moved into what's now known as data governance, data security, making sure that we protected our data as assets. So I've had various roles within Beringer. I worked there for almost 34 years. In addition to that, I've been a full-time pastor for 20 years and have had some ministry opportunities that have taken me to foreign places, but also I have responsibility over the flock that God has given me here in St. Joe to serve. So that's kind of my work history.
I know you mentioned like growing up and how the music changed. When you were growing up, did you ever like hear the Beatles or listen to the Beatles, anything like that of that kind?
Yeah. So growing up, the Beatles were a big deal. I mean, they would be on the Ed Sullivan Show that came on television. I remember my mom and dad talking about, you know, look at those girls, they're screaming, they're crying, you know, and it was, I remember watching that. So we listened to that music. Those were odd times. And even the music also then from the Beatles on began to kind of take on the vibe of the protests that were going on in society. I didn't mention when you said historic events, you know, I didn't mention that, you know, I remember when Dr. Martin Luther King was assassinated. I remember my mom crying, my dad, we were painting our house and inside. And I remember my mom crumbling up in a heap crying. I remember my dad saying, I can't believe that they killed such a good man. I remember Bobby Kennedy being assassinated, and the jarring, fear that you get of like what is really happening in the world. So a lot of the music that came along through my time had that vibe about there were some protests in the songs talking about loving one another and kind of, you know, it was just music took on a different thing. But I do remember the Beatles most definitely.
Well, thank you for your time. That's all I have.
So. Okay. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.